So I'm glad you're here. We're continuing our study through the book of Mark, and we're finishing a three-part mini-series in the middle of Mark, which would be the where Jesus is talking about end times. It's called the Olivet Discourse. So this is really part three of that mini-series. If you've missed any of our messages, you can go back and you can find them online. But I just was thinking about this on the way here as I was driving here today. See if you think this is true. I think it is, and I think it's what makes this an important message and a timely message, is that I will have been a Christian 40 years next spring, so 39 years right now, so more than half my life. And you know what? It hasn't been that hard to be a Christian. It has not been that hard. I've made it hard at times, you know, but it has not been that difficult to live in this world, especially in this country, to be a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. But you know what? I think that's going to change. And I think it's going to change soon. I think it's going to be hard to be a Christian. I mean, really hard. It'll be real easy just to kind of back away and say, what are you talking about? No, I'm not part of them. I think that's what's going to be happening soon. I think that's what the signs are pointing to. I think God wants us to be ready and be alert and be prepared for that, so that we stand till the end. That's what God wants. That's what he wants of you. That's what he wants of me. And so here's where we've come in this little three-part mini-series. Remember, Jesus and his disciples came off out of the temple, down the Temple Mount, and the disciples said, wow, look at all these magnificent buildings. Look at these incredible stones. Look how big they are. And Jesus said, you know what? Every one of them is going to be thrown down. And four of the disciples had enough guts to go to Jesus and say, what are you talking about? We're curious. What do you mean by that? And they asked him two questions. What does it mean? What are the signs? And when's it going to happen? And we've already talked about the signs the last 2 weeks. Tonight I'm going to talk about when it's going to happen. Actually, Jesus is going to talk about when it's going to happen. Josh, last week, just as a reminder, talked about the fact that in the end times, there'll be a bunch of signs. There'll be a lot of false prophets. There'll be natural disasters, celestial disorder. It'll be terrible times, Paul tells Timothy, terrible times. And it'll be like the world is under, it's a pressure cooker. And just like a woman who is about to give birth, it's like there's nothing that's going to stop it at this point. It's, you have to have that baby. And that's where this world is heading. The pressure. We'll all look around and say, something's got to give. Something's going to give. Because this cannot continue. We're not there yet. We're not there by a long shot. But we're going to get there, I suspect. And unless God cuts it short, like in the days of Noah, all flesh, Jesus said, would be destroyed. But God's going to come back. And like Caleb said, he's going to set it all right. And he's going to recreate everything. But there are terrible times coming. Jesus is going to return. He's going to return. So, we're going to talk about the timing. Now, throughout history, there have been people that have used the Bible many times to try to guess, try to predict the year, the month, the week, the day, maybe even the hour that Jesus is going to return, right? Lots of people have guessed, and how many of them were correct? Zero. None of them. Not one person was correct. Here's a classic example. William Miller, the founder of the Millerites and many of the Adventist churches that we even have today, after 14 years of studying the Bible, came to the conclusion, a strong conviction, that the end of the world, that Jesus was going to come back on April 3rd, 1843. And he had a lot of followers. And you can look at the news articles. I was Googling him this week. There's actually, you can see the photo stats of the news articles. People thought he was crazy, but he had a lot of followers. And some of his followers went up to the mountains so they could get a head start on the rapture. That really happened. They wanted to be up closer to Jesus, so when he came back, they'd be the first ones taken. Others went to graveyards and stood on the graves of their loved ones so they could go up together. That's how much they believed in the rapture was going to happen April 3rd. But on April 4th, there was a bunch of disappointed people. Because it didn't happen. Well, let's not quibble about calculations, because all we have to do is recalculate. So he recalculated and said, no, I was wrong. It's going to happen March 21st, 1844. So people got excited again, and they thought, here it comes. And again, they were disappointed. And This guy was not to be deterred, so he guessed one more time, October 22nd, 1844. Of course, that didn't happen either. He missed the day all three times, but more than that, he missed the point. He missed the point, as does anyone who tries to guess a specific day or hour. Here's the point. Jesus told us to be ready no matter when he returns. He wasn't trying to give us a calculation to come up with some prophecy chart so we could figure out the day. He wanted us simply to be ready. That's the point. And that's the point of what we're going to look at today. In fact, we're going to look at three things Jesus says about the timing of the end. If you think I'm going to give you a day or an hour or a week, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But what I'm going to give you is the Bible. Because Jesus tells us what to look for in the end, okay? So that's what we're going to look for. I want to pray one more time here and ask God to help us. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that we get to read your words tonight, the red letters, and hear what you have to say about this important and timely topic. Lord, so many people have studied it for year after year and made charts and books and predictions, and every one of them has been wrong because they must not have read the verses we're going to read, because you tell us right there what we should expect. Thank you, God, that you've given us the sign. You told us what to look for, the signs, and now you tell us about the timing, when it's going to happen. We thank you for that. I pray that you would teach our hearts tonight. Thank you that we could be together as a family. Bless this time, we pray. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, three things Jesus says about the timing of the end. Number one, he says we will see the signs. Again, we've talked about that for a couple weeks, but I just want to emphasize again, we will see this. Jesus wanted us to know there's things out there that we'll be able to see. We'll see with our own eyes, like here it comes. It's getting close. The end times will be obvious. In fact, as I was meditating on this, I kind of think, based on the verses we're going to read right here, is that if we have to ask the question, is this the end times? Then I think it's not yet. I think we're going to look at each other and go, oh my gosh, this has to end. This has to be over. Just like birth pangs. It's like this has to be over soon. And the doctor says it's time to push. There's nobody second guessing the doctor at that point. It's like, you're right, let's do it. It's obvious, it's time. End time signs will be obvious to us, okay? So let's pick it up where we left off, where Josh left off last week. Jesus speaking, now he tells his disciples, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you're going to see them happening, you know that it is near. Right at the door. It's going to be obvious, and we're going to see it. Now, Jesus used the imagery of the fig tree. So this is a shot of a fig tree that's just coming to blossom. That usually happens in early spring, April, May in Israel. And they have fruit in the early summer with a fig tree. Now, everybody that Jesus was talking to most likely understood this illustration. When Jesus said, learn a lesson from the fig tree, they understood what he was talking about. They were an agricultural society. They harvested figs. They knew what he meant. When it's tender like that, you can see that one bud is just about ready to come open, that summer is near. In other words, I think he was saying, guys, here's an obvious illustration to you. You can see this and you can tell me that summer is near. It's going to be the same way with the signs. It will be obvious. Nobody scratched their head and went, really? So when the bud comes out, that means it's getting close. Everybody knew that, just like I know with my garden, right? I like gardening. I can tell with my tomato plants and my zucchini plants, I can tell right about when they're going to start bearing fruit, right? They get these, it's really easy with those plants to get the little yellow flowers. So it's super simple, okay? Nobody has to tell me, hey, there's going to be a zucchini right there, because I really think zucchini plants, we should only have one per county, I think, because they're so prolific. I know there's going to be fruit all around that thing. And in the same way, the disciples knew what he was talking about. It's obvious. And some people like to make a lot about the metaphor of Jesus, of Israel being the fig tree, which is interesting to think about with the rebirth of Israel in 1948 and that being what he's talking about here, that it's very near. And that could be, but I don't think it is, and mainly because of what the Bible says in Luke 21, 29. In that version of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus says, learn a lesson from the fig tree and all the trees. So it's not just the fig tree. He's just saying, learn a lesson. He could have said, from your zucchini plant. Learn a lesson. You know, when the yellow thing comes up, there's going to be a zucchini. Okay? Oh, that's obvious. I think that's the point. It's obvious. It's right at the door. It's coming soon. And Jesus wants us, and I think this is critical that we understand, that we don't just focus on the signs. We don't just focus on all the stuff going around us. We understand that the signs are pointing to something. We look at a woman in labor, and we don't just look at the labor pains, and we just focus on the labor pains, and we talk about them, and we analyze them. We look at the things going up, and we talk about all that. No, we're focusing on what? The baby. The doctors and nurses are focusing on the baby. The labor pains are simply a sign that is very, very close. Something's started that's not going to stop. It's going to go to completion, and it's getting close. That's why Jesus gave us the signs. It should be obvious. Also, the signs are simply pointing to Jesus. Jesus continues. He says, I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. A lot of passing away in these two verses. A lot of things passing away. The signs are simply pointing to Jesus. Many people are obsessed with the signs, and they study the signs, and they think about the signs. That's all they think about. Jesus wants us to get our eyes off the signs, recognize them, but get them on Jesus. That's the point. Everything else is going to go away, including the signs. But Jesus and his words will never pass away. I've got to show you a little video clip that I think is always funny, talking about how we can have all the signs in the world, yet still miss Jesus. Let's just roll this just for a second. It's a 60-second clip.
Okay, God. You want me to talk to you?
Then talk back. Tell me what's going on.
What should I do? Give me a signal.
I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. What's this Joker doing now?
Okay. All right. I'll try it your way. All right. Lord, I need a miracle.
I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life. What the hell are you? I got you.
We can be so busy talking about the signs that we miss what's really important. We don't want to do that. Jesus says, look at me. It's pointing at me. Everything about the signs is pointing to Jesus. So my question as we end this point is, are you focusing on eternal things? Or are you just looking for signs? The signs are going to go away. The point is, are you looking at Jesus and his word? Because on this planet that we live in right now, there's two things that will remain, that will be left when Jesus has everything else pass away: people and God's word. Those are the two things that will remain. Are you focusing on those? Are you reading your Bible? Are you sharing the gospel? You care about people around you, that they're going to hell? We should focus on things eternal, because Jesus says everything else is going away. Everything else is going away. So that's the first thing we see Jesus tell us, is that we will see the signs and they'll be obvious. Let's focus on Jesus. Amen. Second thing he tells us is that we won't know the exact time of the end. We won't know that. So why do people keep guessing? I don't know. Maybe they're not reading the Bible. But Jesus is very clear here. Only the Father knows the timing. It says this, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But only the Father. This is a very interesting verse, actually. The fact that, first of all, we see that who's going to know the time? Can you figure it out? In fact, if you come up to me and say, hey, I've got a calculation, I've got a chart, I've written a book, I can tell you exactly when Jesus is going to come back. You know what I'm pretty sure of? You know what I'm pretty sure of? He's not coming back that day. That's the day he's not coming back. That's what I can be sure of. We don't know. No one will know. Guess what? Not even Jesus. Does that not, that should freak you out a little bit. That should make you pause as a believer that we believe that, we believe this book, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus is the creator of everything, that Jesus will judge the world. Yet he says, there's something I don't know. The Son doesn't even know when the end is coming. Only the Father. How can that be? That should bother you a little bit. You should at least pause on that and go, wait a minute. Well, the answer is pretty simple. We know that in Philippians, we know a fact that Jesus was both God and man, the God-man. And in Philippians, it says that he emptied himself of everything that was in his Godhead. He had certain things that were part of his deity, his God, his godness that he gave up, right? That God, the Father never gave up. God the Father never gets hunger pains and has to go, you know, eat junk food. God the Father never has had that. Jesus on this planet got hungry. He gave up that willingly, that need to not have food. Jesus allowed himself to get hungry. God the Father never has slept. Jesus, when he's on this planet, guess what? He got tired and he slept. You know, there's certain things. I mean, God the Father knows everything. Jesus chose to give up knowledge of some things. He emptied himself. And one of the things he chose, he submitted to the Father, was the knowledge of when the end was going to come. That's why Jesus didn't know. So if Jesus doesn't know and the angels don't know, do you think you're going to know? No, but you can know when in a range. Like when you get a text from Amazon that says, hey, your package is going to be delivered between 8 and 9, 8 in the morning, 9 at night, you're pretty sure that you should be ready for it, right? In that time, you're looking for it, especially if it's important. God gives us a range. With the signs, he's given us a range, saying, look for it, be ready for it. You don't want to miss the Amazon guy. Okay, you don't want to miss Jesus. Be looking for it, but you don't know the exact time. Okay, so Jesus' focus when he was teaching us was not on it was on preparation, not calculation. His teaching was not for calculation, so we can do all the numbers, but for preparation. Be ready. Yet again, there's so many people that have missed this verse, evidently. Here's another classic example. A guy named Edgar Wisenant wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. The book sold 4.3 million copies. I did do the math on this one. Even if he made up 25 pennies off each book, he became a millionaire, right? Even if he just made one quarter off each book, the guy became a millionaire. That many people bought his book. Did the rapture happen in 1988? No. Again, it doesn't stop these guys. He wrote another book, 1989, The Final Shout, Rapture Report, 1989. And I read that, and I see, oh, he only sold 30,000 on that one. Then I went, he sold 30,000! He missed it completely the year before, writes a new book, and 30,000 people buy it. What on earth? I have a suggestion for old Edgar Wisenant for his next book. I think it's this one right here. How I Got Rich by Not Reading the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that no one will know the time, yet people try, and people are looking for that. People want to be told the date. We're not going to know. Only the Father knows the timing. Not only that, Jesus tells us about the time. You know that it's going to be sudden. He says, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Does that sound urgent to you? Jesus said, be on your guard, be alert. That sounds like he's sounding the alarm to me. It sounds like there's no time to waste, like he's trying to shake us and wake us up. Jesus basically saying, listen, my return could be, it's imminent. It could be at any minute. We need to be alert, we need to be attentive, we need to be vigilant, we need to be ready for his return every single day. every single day. And we need to be ready by not just sitting back, you know, getting a lawn chair out and just waiting. We need to be busy about God's work, what he's called us to do. Be at the beckon of God's call. Whatever he tells us to do, we should be doing that. That's what God wants us to do. And I was reminded of a story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I'm just going to read this couple sentences to you about this story. It says, at the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Hitler. Yet he continued to urge his fellow believers to resist the Nazi tyranny. So he was in jail, and he was still telling people, resist, resist, get out there and work. But a group of Christians came to him believing that Hitler was the Antichrist, and they asked Bonhoeffer, why do you expose yourself to all this danger? You're getting in trouble for saying those things. Jesus is going to return any day, and all your work and suffering will be for nothing. Basically, just be quiet so you quit suffering. And this was his response, and I love it. He says, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's finished. And he was actually killed in prison just a couple days before the war was over. They did that on purpose. They saw they were losing, and they went and killed all the prisoners, and he was killed. But the point is, we need to be at work doing what Jesus tells us to do. We have work to do. And if he comes back tomorrow, then we should be working. If he comes back in 10 years, we should be working. If he comes back in 50 years, we should be working. Amen? Just like Bonhoeffer. But we should be ready every day. I was thinking about this. I wonder if it's wrong. I think God would understand if every day you got up and you told the world, I think today is the day. Today Jesus is going to come back. And if he doesn't come back, you go, oh, well. And then tomorrow morning you get up and go, today is the day. Today. And every day you do that, one of those days you might be right. I think Jesus would be okay with that. You could boast all the angels. I guessed it. I guess what day it was. Okay? It's urgent. We need to be about God's business. So my question for this section is, are you busy with God's work or are you just busy? I can keep busy. And that convicts me. But am I busy with God's work? He's got work for us to do, men and women. A lot of work. And we're going to have more work coming as things get harder and harder for us. So, told us three things. I told you that. First, we'll see the signs of the end. They'll be obvious. Number two, we won't know the exact time. Only the Father does, but we need to keep busy doing his business. So here's the third thing he tells us. We need to be watchful for the end. He's coming back, in other words. We need to be ready for it, be watching for it. In Mark 13:34, Jesus said this. He gives him an illustration. He says, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door, keep watch. So clearly in this illustration, this parable, Jesus is the master, and we are the servants who have been put in charge to steward the kingdom business that he's given us to steward. He's the master, we're the servants. He said, here's your job, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. That's what he's telling these guys. Continue on, verse 35. Therefore, since I'm coming back, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. You don't know that. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Jesus has given us a responsibility. Yes, he's with the Father in heaven, and he's coming back. And he's warning us, he's telling us, don't let me catch you sleeping. Don't be lazy. Be about my business. You've got a job to do. You've got a world to reach. You've got neighbors to tell about me. Don't get caught sleeping. You know, I had a job when I was in college. It was actually with the Department of Agriculture through Iowa State University, and we would grow plants and save the seeds, and there was an underground bunker. Actually, they have these all over the United States where in case there's a nuclear event, then we have all the seeds are stored. There's food storage places where we can regrow all the different plants on the planet. And we would do a lot of corn and different soybeans and things like that. We'd grow the plants, And one of the things that we'd have to do in the summertime, we got to do, actually, it was all of these college kids that worked for this department. We'd go in a bus, and they'd take us to different parts of Iowa, to the very corners of Iowa, and they would have five-acre plots that we would plant, oftentimes hand-planting with a tube that we'd drop a seed in and push it, and all the way across the field, then all the way back. And they would do research, and they would save these seeds once they grew. Now, what often would happen would be you'd have 30 college kids get dropped off of this field, and the PhD student who was in charge of it would take the bus and go to town and probably drink coffee, or I don't know what they were doing. But what do you think happened when the boss was down the dirt road, and you could see the dust from the gravel road, and the bus is gone? What do you think happened to those college students? Think they worked hard? No, they hardly worked. They found the closest tree and just sat under the tree, kicking back and laughing. And I had just become a Christian at that point. I'd become a Christian about a year before that. And I wasn't about to just sit, and I was taught to work hard anyway. So I worked, and I'd be the only one working. And I'd be out there by myself in the five-acre field just planting away. And these guys would start yelling at me like they were so mad that I was making them look bad. Come on, quit working. And, you know, I didn't really give a rip what they thought about me. It was like, God, I would tell them, I said, that's not my boss. You're not my boss. God is my boss, and he sees me right now. Come on, you're making us look bad. I knew who my boss was. So I was going to keep busy. Those guys thought that guy that's now, you can see the dust coming back, and they were running out into the field. They thought that was the boss. He wasn't. We need to be busy about God's work when he comes back. And he's given us a dust trail. He says, here's the signs. When you see the dust trail, no, I'm coming back. Jesus is coming back. We need to be about his business. We need to be about his business. So we need to watch for the signs of the dust trail. Why? So we can be ready. That's why he gives us the signs, to be ready to see Jesus. That's what he said. Last verse. What I say to you, I say to everyone. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Believer, unbeliever. Doesn't matter. Man, woman, child, everyone. Watch. Watch. See the signs. Watch for Jesus. Don't just focus on the signs. Don't sit under the tree being lazy. Be working. Be working hard for Jesus. Watch. We need to be watching the right thing, by the way. And I was reminded of this funny little story that really helped me understand. I got to be watching for Jesus because I can get distracted and I can be watching the wrong thing. It took place in the cafeteria of a religious school. They had a table full of food, and the kids were making their way through in a line to get the food. And at the head of the front of the table, there was a bowl of apples. And the teacher had written a sign saying, please take one. God is watching. And when they got to the end of the table, there was a plate of beautiful chocolate chip cookies, and evidently one of the students had written his own sign and said, take all you want, God's watching the apples. And it made me laugh, and it made me realize I can get distracted. Like the video we watched, God can give me all the signs, I could either not be understanding them or looking at something else or just focus on the signs. I need to focus on God and Jesus' return. What are you watching? We know God sees everything, but what are we watching? Will he catch you watching for him? Or will he catch you watching Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or gaming online? If he came back tonight, would he catch you watching that girl or that guy or a mirror? Checking yourself out. If he came back today, would he catch you watching the stock markets and your bank accounts and your career? Or would he catch you looking for him? I suggest you wake up every morning and say, God, come back today. I'm going to expect you to come back. Please come back today. I'm going to be watching for you today. I think that's a good habit. I've been trying to do that more and more as I've been studying this topic out. So my last question for you is, are you watching for King Jesus to return? Or are you watching something else? He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Are you ready for him to return? How do you get ready? You get ready as a Christian by being busy in the kingdom work that he's given to us, to reach the world with the gospel, to share Jesus with your friends and family and neighbors. If you're an unbeliever, if you don't know Christ, then you need to get saved. You don't want to be left behind. You need to repent and turn to Christ in faith. Accept the gift of God that he offers you through salvation, through the forgiveness that Jesus offers. You need to become a Christian, born again today. That's how we get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Let's be ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for telling us about the end times, about what to look for and when it's going to happen. Thank you, God, that we believe that the end is very, very near. If it's not here tomorrow, then it's very near. We know that's true. We see the signs. We believe them. And we want to be ready. Help us in our hearts be ready for your return. Help us be alert no matter when it comes that we're ready for it, God. Help us keep our eyes on you. It's so easy for us to get distracted. So easy for me. Help me be about the kingdom work that you've given me to do. Thank you that though the world is imploding all around us and terrible times await us, you're coming back soon to set everything right. Thank you that though the world seems like it's getting more and more chaotic by the day, I believe that the peace of God is available to all humanity through faith that Jesus is the true King. Help us be alert. Help us be attentive. Help us be vigilant and ready. Help us share with people about you, the Prince of Peace. And as the saints of old used to pray, we now implore you, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.